Well, you might say winter is finally knocking on our door, and all these leaves piled up by the road are doing more harm than you might think. Bill Selbig is on the United States Geological Survey Water Science Center research team in Madison, studying the phosphorus levels that come from leaves in the fall. And if you remove those leaves, how much nutrient is removed from stormwater?
We measured the concentrations of phosphorus and nitrogen in stormwater runoff from a period of April through November in 2015, and actually started in 2013 and moved all the way through 2015. And we characterized the concentrations of phosphorus seasonally for that period and evaluated that for a collection, if you did everything to collect those leaves versus if you did nothing to collect those leaves. And what we found is that if you make every effort to remove leaves from street surfaces in the fall, you can get up to an 80% reduction in phosphorus loads compared to if you did not do anything at all, if you did not remove any leaves.
Why is the city of Madison interested in this? Are other cities going to be doing similar projects?
Well, the city of Madison and other surrounding communities are all under permit restrictions or requirements, and they have to reduce the amount of phosphorus in urban stormwater by a certain amount by a certain year. And they're struggling to try to figure out how they can do that, given certain financial constraints. How can they best achieve that? And the thought process is, well, if we can identify leaves as a significant source of phosphorus, the city already does a leaf collection program. If they just need to modify or tweak that program slightly to optimize the amount of phosphorus that they reduce, well, then that's a significant savings for them because it's a program they already do. And if they can not only have leaf removal as a, an aesthetic reasons, as a service to residents, and at the same time get a phosphorus reduction to help them meet some sort of permit, well, then it's a win-win for them.
What are you finding? How is the fall comparing to other seasons? Is it as significant of a difference as people might think it is?
Right. What we're finding is, originally we didn't quite know. We knew that leaves was, they were a significant source of phosphorus, but nobody really knew by how much. And so by measuring those concentrations in April and May and all the way through November, we're able to parse out by season where fall kind of falls into that mix. And what we found is that on an annual basis, the annual total phosphorus load, about 56% of the annual total phosphorus load comes during the fall. Now, we don't monitor during the winter, so we're just looking at spring, summer, and fall here. And the interesting thing about that is even though 56% of the total phosphorus load came during the fall, for the months of October and November, there were only 8 storms that generated that high loading rate. Compared to spring and summer, where you have many, many more rain events, but the concentration is much smaller, so the overall load was smaller as well. So in the spring, we end up getting about 30% of the annual total phosphorus load. In summer, it's even less. It's around 14% or so.
What does this mean for the public? What do high phosphorus levels in the water do?
Well, if you think about phosphorus and nitrogen, we call them nutrients. And if you think of them that way, any receiving water body needs a certain amount of nutrients to be a healthy, productive body of water. And lakes are certainly amongst that. But phosphorus is a fertilizer. Nitrogen is also a fertilizer. And if you think about them that way, too much fertilizer can be damaging. It would cause a lake to become eutrophic, which basically means it's very highly productive in terms of its algal content. You have too much algae in a lake and suddenly you lose a lot of benefits, both recreational benefits, but also there's some potential harm to aquatic organisms such as fish. You have too much algae in the lake, sun can't penetrate as deep as it might normally penetrate, so you'll lose some production that way. We've all heard of the blue algae that has been in some of the lakes in recent past, and it can be toxic to aquatic organisms and to pets and humans in high concentrations. So we want to limit the amount of phosphorus that enters our water bodies. And we tackle that through a number of different ways. We look at both the agricultural components that might be contributing to these water bodies, but also the urban components. And if we address them in a synergistic fashion and collectively, then there's a chance that we can reduce, in the case of the Madison Chain of Lakes, we're looking to reduce the amount of phosphorus by 50% by the year 2030.
So what stages has this study gone in from when it started to where it will be in the future?
The study began really in the fall of 2013. We're in an active monitoring period. Our first couple of years were really just to determine how important is phosphorus in the fall. And if you remove the leaves or and other organic vegetation from the street surfaces, how much reduction can you really get? we realize that the efforts and our methods of leaf removal during that period of time probably are not representative of what any other city will do. But we were able to determine that, yes, leaves are an important source of phosphorus in the fall, and that if you remove those leaves, you're going to get a fairly significant reduction in the amount of nutrients that you'll find in stormwater runoff. What we're doing now and in the next couple of years is we're going to actually test some of those variations in municipal leaf collection programs. For example, the city of Middleton does a vacuum mulching system. It's just a high-powered vacuum that will mulch leaf piles on site. Other communities do it a different way. They'll bag leaves or ask residents to bag leaves. The city of Madison uses a transfer system where they'll push piles of leaves into the road and then haul it away in some modified garbage truck. There's a number of different ways. There's a number of different frequencies at which the cities will operate. Some do it on a weekly basis, others do it perhaps once a month. And so there's this matrix of variations or options in which you can create a leaf collection program. What we hope to do is to, year by year, we'll start filling that matrix in with differences in technology, differences in frequency, and be able to assign a reduction credit. If, let's say, a community does a vacuum mulching on a weekly basis and they follow that up with street cleaning, perhaps we'll find that they'll get a 50% or a 40% or some number of phosphorus reduction given that type of program. And then over time, we'll be able to fill in all of the other types of leaf collection programs so that each of these cities can then go to the State Department of Natural Resources and say, here's our program. Here's the science behind the phosphorus reduction given our program. Will you give us that amount of credit towards meeting our permit?
Bill Selbig, a researcher from Madison and Middleton's Water Science Center for the U.S. Geological Survey. As fall comes to a close, this year's trial does as well, and 2016 results will be coming soon. From the Wisconsin Farm Report, I'm Bobby Joe Burgum.